Last week I shared a word that some of you just said, oh my, you know, and it ministered to you and reached in deep and will bring healing and whatnot. And I really want to sort of expand on it. I've done a lot of teaching over the years and preaching on the mind. A lot, so much so that you'd think that you'd exhaust it to some point, but you just never really do. And I really believe that this is a year that I know for fact that God operates oftentimes out of chaos. And if you watch any bit of news, you know there's a lot of chaos. And yet in the midst of it, God is trying to do something. And he's trying to do something in our lives. But it's very important that in this time and this season that you and I are in, that we have the right mind to receive what God has for us. Because the Bible says that it is with the mind that we serve the Lord. And if we are distracted or overcome with thoughts that consume us by everything else, we will not have the mind to receive what God has, and the church will miss it. I've often said, and I've said it for years, that you can miss a moment or you can seize a moment. And if we're not careful, we will miss the moment. I believe a part of what I even experienced this week, the testimony I gave earlier, it was a moment that I could have seized or a moment I could have missed. We all come across those opportunities where we have these moments where we can seize something that God has for us or we will miss it. And then it's like we're waiting a whole other season or two until it comes back around for you and I. And so I believe this is an important and imperative time for you and I to make sure that we have our minds right, that we are ready fully to receive. Sometimes we say we're ready for whatever God wants. Oh, really? Because we're often ready to receive it in the manner of which we've perceived it in our mind, you know, the way I think God will do it. But how many of you have learned that God will often bring things about in your life completely different? It will manifest in a manner that doesn't look like anything that you dreamt about or perceived about, that often what it ends up being is totally different. That God will bring someone into your life that doesn't look like someone that you thought it would be. It doesn't act like that person. Amen. When God sends help, I never dreamed in a million years that it would look like Lois, but that's what we got. And so the same thing is true in our lives, that God will often bring things and bring answers into your life that doesn't look like what you may have thought it was, but it was an answer. And so sometimes you can think it's a curse, but it's really an answer. And so I've learned, and I believe this is an hour. Here we are, halfway through this year, and this is a moment where we have got to have the right mind to perceive, to receive what God has for you and I. And I don't want us to miss it as a people for what God has for us. God has been doing so many things. Every time I turn around, my family, my sister's been one that's just been praying along with us. And as God's answering prayer, it's just been amazing. We'll testify and God answers a prayer. And God answers a prayer and we'll testify again. And it's just been over and over the last number of months. It's just been one thing after the other. And the favor of God. I could spend the entire time we have today just telling you about all the times and the favor that we've been walking in. And it's extraordinary. And how God has blessed and moved and helped. And that's what it's about. But if we're not careful, because the Bible says that it is with the mind that we serve the Lord, then the first place the enemy attacks is your mind. He wants to distort our thoughts, negative thinking, right? Cause us to think and observe things that aren't really there. Cause us to think the worst of people, right? And the enemy, if he can get your mind, then that's it right there. Because it is with the mind that we serve the Lord. And so if I don't stop where I'm going, I'm going to go in a different direction than what I planned. But I want to go into the Word. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 2. We were saying earlier as we begin worship, I will bless the Lord at all times. That is really not just a scripture, but it is something that you and I should use to renew our mind and to keep our mind focused upon Him, that we'll not allow stinking thinking. We're not going to allow things that will be a detractor in our life or hinder our walk with God, but that we will bless Him at all times. When everything is falling apart, that means you and I will bless Him. When people are mad at you, that means that you and I will bless Him. Amen. When people are angry with you and I, when something goes wrong financially, right? When your car gets dinged up, right, by rocks and a lawnmower, amen, I will bless the Lord. I wasn't blessing the Lord the day that they did that, but I will bless the Lord in the meantime, right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. I was helping somebody, and they were mowing their own grass, and then they threw rocks into my car, and now it goes in the body shop tomorrow to get fixed. And I said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise will always and continually be on my lips. After I got angry, right? No, the Bible says that we will bless him at all times. No matter, regardless. Look what the Bible says in Mark chapter 2. I'm just going to jump down to verse 18. This is a powerful text that I've used and preached and ministered from. There's so much good right here that we can use today. Look what it says. Mark chapter 2, beginning of verse 18. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth to an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine in old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Some of you are saying, huh? We're going to make it all make sense. This is a text that if you read it at first glance, you think it's talking about one thing, but it's really talking about something totally different. And that's what's really interesting and fascinating about the whole text. And specifically the last couple of verses, when he says, no one puts new wine in old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. It's really important for you and I, and I'll do my best to break this down for you today, because the text begins talking about fasting, and it's not about fasting at all. Some of us probably know people, or you've been in a situation where someone has been talking to you about something, but it really wasn't about what they were talking about at all. They were sort of something else underneath the surface of what they were talking about. They were getting their point across to you. This text sort of is like that, where there's a conversation taking place, and it's not at all about fasting. It's not about fasting at all. It's really about something deeper. It's really about the direction that we're going to go in today, that a deeper message, a deeper meaning for you and I, that even the Bible says in the seventh chapter of Mark that the traditions of men make the word of God of non-effect. That scripture is important for you and I because it's often our own traditions that will get in the way of the move of God or the thing that God wants to do in our life. What the text was really reminding us was that the tradition of fasting itself, if not done correctly, he was saying, it's really of none effect for you and I. That often our own traditions get in the way of the effective working of the Word of God. And so he's wanting to bring forth something deeper. It wasn't about really fasting at all. He was getting to the deeper part about how God is unable to really bring forth the new things into our life. How many of us are believing God for some new things, something brand new, some blessing, some kind of abundance, right? As a church, we've been praying for them. We've seen God do extraordinary things over the course of weeks and months and years. And so many people just are in awe of how God blesses and moves and favor that's poured out. But yet, if we're not in the right position or we don't have the right mindset, what Jesus was really speaking to them is saying that you can't put new wine into an old wineskin. In other words, you can't put the blessings of God, the things that often we're believing him for, into our old mind. He's talking about you and I renewing our mind. Even Romans 12 says that we're to be what? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. So many times as Christians, we're trying to receive the things of God but attaching it to something old. If you've ever been through any extreme thing in life, you know, an event in your life that's ever scarred you, wounded you, caused you to be a little cautious. If you've ever had any bad relationship, it didn't mean even mean you had to marry him, but if you made that mistake, then you know what I'm talking about. Or if it was just a casual relationship that was just bad from the start, it'll make you a little gun-shy to do it again. And yet, oftentimes, we meet someone new, right? And then we'll try to attach what somebody else did to the new person, and it doesn't go well either. And so we can kind of relate to it in that manner, that's what God's saying. He's saying, in order for you to receive everything that I have for you, he's saying, I don't want you to attach what I've blessed you with that is new to what is old, to understand, to receive the fullness of it, to receive the blessing of it. And so oftentimes I think that what he is beginning to show us in the Word is that we're missing out on some of the blessing of God. We're missing out on the abundance that God has for you and I. That it's hard for you and I to actually believe. It's hard for you and I to often renew our mind to believe that the God that we worship actually wants you and I to live in that kind of abundance where there's nothing missing, lacking, or broken. That he wants you and I to, when the Bible says in John 10 that the thief comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy, but God comes that you and I have life and have it what? More abundantly or superabundance. It's really hard for you and I to believe that. If you have $2 in your pocket and yet we're standing here saying that God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly, you're probably like, yeah, right. If your life has been full of what it's like to go to hell and back, and you hear us say all the time that God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly, sometimes it can be hard to believe, let alone receive that kind of blessing into your life. And yet that's exactly what Jesus was wanting to get through to them in this moment. He was saying, don't let traditions get in the way. Don't try to just live and serve and follow me out of tradition. He's saying, I want you to set aside old things. Don't try to attach something old or some old tradition to the new thing that I'm trying to do. That's why some people say, when are we going to do communion? When are we going to do this? I just wait and listen to the Holy Spirit. It's not on the third Sunday of every month because I didn't see in the Word where that's what he necessarily wanted us to do. And I don't want you to get so familiar with it that it loses its potency. What it is like to experience communion. I don't want it to become too familiar. And sometimes we do. We get so familiar with praise or worship or the way that we worship that we almost begin to take it for granted. Because God wants to bless you and I in such a degree, but he doesn't want you and I attaching it to something old. He wants you and I to be in a position to receive it. So he says, be careful. Be careful. That when you're ready for something new in your life, not to attach something old to something that is new, because what he says in the text is it ruins the integrity of both. Don't try to attach something old to something new because it ruins the integrity of them both. In other words, stop trying to bring with you things that God has set you free from. Uh-huh. Oftentimes, even in our speaking, even in what we go through, even in the midst of our testimony or where God's taking us, oftentimes it's easier for you and I to reach back to what is comfortable than to just fully jump forward, come on somebody, into what God has for us, because even though it's painful, even though it's harmful, even though it's frustrating, it's comforting because I'm so used to that. And so God is saying, hey, I don't want you to try to bring any of that stuff with you. Where God wants to bring, I believe, the entire body of Christ in this year, he wants to bring us into a place where it's completely new, where we receive so much more. We come into a greater and more awareness of him and who he is. God doesn't want you and I wasting time trying to cut out old pieces of our old life and attach it to what God's doing right now. We're guilty of that in the church, I think, sometimes, because we take what God has done that has worked, and we try to duplicate that in a new way, in a new season. I can take what God did 5 years ago and that worked and try to make that work again, but what I've learned about God is he's no longer in that. God is constantly moving, constantly. He is just on the move, even right now. And what is important about you and I and as people of God is that we have to make sure that God is where we're currently at, that he's in the right season where we're at, that he's operating, and that his heart is that we're following and chasing after his heart, that just because we did something 5 years ago and it caused a great move of God doesn't mean that's where God is still at, that he is constantly advancing. And the Bible even says that he wants you and I to move from glory to glory, meaning always advancing. And so don't get hung up on old miracles, on old things that God has done before. We've seen some of the greatest moves of God throughout the years of Fresh Fire Church. And yet what I've learned is don't get hung up on that. Don't try to get hung up on an emotional thing. Don't try to get hung up on all the radical, extraordinary things that God's doing. But instead, make sure you are right in the center of where God is right now. Make sure you are right in the heart of it all, because otherwise we'll miss him. You can miss a moment or seize a moment. Hallelujah. And so the text says that you can't put old wine in new wineskins, and I don't want to spend a lot of time there because I'm going to be out of time before long. But no, in other words, what he's saying in the text is that they had no bottles like you and I do today. I know some of y'all know what that's like, cracking open a bottle of wine. Hallelujah, as you try to sit there and be all churchy today. But they didn't have bottles like you and I have. They didn't have the twist-off tops or any of that kind of fancy stuff. They didn't have the wine bottle openers that you see, none of those great things. Hallelujah. They were using wineskins, right? Skins from animals to hold wine. Yum. Hallelujah. Must have been tasty. And the skins themselves were made to be flexible and pliable, and they could move and they could expand. Not like your bottle, unless you're a boxed wine kind of person. Hallelujah. Those might be able to expand a little bit, right? Amen. But they were created in a manner so that they could expand and so that they could flex as time went on. And if they weren't pliable, if they weren't flexible, there'd be trouble. Because wine wasn't like it is now. It needed to have the ability to expand and to flex. And when they would first put the wine in, we understand that the wine would sort of go through a changing process. Just like everything goes through a process. The whole chemistry and the character of it begins to change. Hallelujah. And if you put it in something old and that was inflexible, it would burst because of the changes. And so they couldn't put new wine into old wineskins because it would burst under the pressure. Would you hear what God is saying to you and I? That so many times you and I are trying to put new things that God is trying to do into an old wineskin or into our old mind. In other words, we have to be renewed in our mind for what God wants to do. The only way that we've been able to advance as a ministry and overcome some of the greatest odds and some of the most difficult times is that's really one of the greatest things right there, is keeping our minds focused upon the Lord, keeping our hearts fixed on what he has desired, renewing our mind, walking not by sight but often by faith and faith alone. And some people would call it crazy faith, but faith and faith alone. That's what we've done. That's what we continue to do. Amen. And so you and I have got to be able to do that, not just when it comes to something that we are believing for corporately, but when we're believing for something individually. See, some of you can come to church and believe God's going to do that for the church. But when it comes to you, you don't believe God would be willing to do that for you. And God is saying to you and I, hey, I want your mind to be renewed. I want to deal with your mind, because what we end up doing is sort of going around and round in circles and never really going in the direction that God has for us and accomplishing and really possessing. And what I really believe is that God wants some of you and I to lay a hold of things that we've been promised, to actually take possession of it. How many of you know that there are things that you and I have dreamed of that we've not yet attained? There are. There are things that we've been believing God for that you haven't yet seen manifest or come to be manifest yet in your life. There are things that God has prophesied over our church, many, and much of what has already been accomplished, but yet even more. When we got that prophecy last year, that God said, you're not just going to own schools and churches, and you're not going to have other churches that you're credentialing like we do. He said, but you're going to own homes and all these. I was ready to say, okay, God, really not yet. Don't expand it yet. Don't do this to me, God. There's days I feel like I'm melting under the pressure. I was driving my mom home last night, and she's like, I don't know. She said, I was telling her about the meeting money. She said, I don't know what you think, how many more of you think God's got to create to keep all this going. And I said, God has a plan, right? God has a purpose. All is necessary is for you and I to say, Lord, keep my mind fixed and stayed upon him. See, part of our problem is that we don't have the mind to receive it. That we're trying to put new blessings into an old state of mind, that we're trying to receive these good, godly words, and that we're trying to receive the Word of God as we get fresh revelation and put it into a mind that still has holes and flaws in it, that it's not been renewed to where we are in Christ, right? That's what God was saying to them. He was saying, hey, you aren't the same as the disciples of John the Baptist. He said, you're different. And he was saying, you can't try to put something new into something old. And I believe that is so much of where the church is going wrong. Right now, with our nation losing its mind, and that's true, that's what's happening on the news. This nation is losing its mind. Right or left, I don't care where you stand, we are losing our mind. And their people are looking for someone to have an answer, and it won't be in Washington. It isn't blue and it isn't red. The church has the answer. I'm telling you, that is the absolute truth. People have looked to even our ministry for answers. People have been looking through all of this virus and all of the food outreaches we've been doing, and that people have been looking to this ministry for answers and for help, which is where they need to come. But we will come up empty-handed. I've even had pastor friends say, I don't know what to say. I said, then you better get out of ministry. If you have nothing to say, then you need to find another profession, because the world is looking to the church. And if we do not make sure that our minds are renewed and that we are tuned into the frequency of heaven, we will miss a moment instead of seizing the moment. I believe that this is the time where God is trying to bring increase into the body of Christ, where God is trying to step out on the stage to be like, here I am, you know, here's what I have for you. I believe that. And where God wants to start is with our minds. He's not trying to just throw blessings at you and say, oh, you know, here, catch it if you can. How many have seen those cash machines where you get in and the air's blowing and you're trying to grab a hold of the cash? Oh, don't pretend none of y'all ain't never been to Vegas or any of those things where you've been to one of those, right? They're fun. They're hilarious to see people do it. They're shoving cash wherever they can. It's kind of like Lois. She gets cash, she'll hide it. David finds it. Yes. And yet God is not trying to give you and I that kind of blessing in a whirlwind and be like, catch what you can. Literally, God is trying to bless you and I. You need to get the mind to receive this. Get rid of your old thinking. Understand that literally what God is trying to do for you and I right now is literally gift you. As if I was to shake your hand and put a $1,000 check in there, that's the same thing God wants to do for you and whatever it is. When he says that I, God, will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory, what do you need right now? When God says that, you have to have the mind to believe that. Doesn't matter what the checkbook says. Doesn't matter if they said that you're fired. Doesn't matter if they said we don't need you anymore. Those are the very things that God says in the Word, don't pay any attention to. Now, don't go writing any rubber checks. But he's saying, I want you to believe in me enough. We talked the other week, and I preached a message about the good Father. That he is such a good Father. He says, I want you to trust me above all else. How many of you got a friend that has lied to you? Told you one thing, and you never saw it manifest. I know what that's like. He said, I'll do this, I'll do that. And did the complete opposite. And yet we come to God, we come to prayer, we come to worship. We maybe come in with an expectation, but in the back of our mind, we're expecting it not to happen. And that's exactly where God is trying to speak to in our minds and saying, I am not a man that I should lie. He is not a man that he should lie. Meaning whatever God says, he means. And he wants you and I to receive that. He wants you and I to walk in it. So when he says that I desire that you have life and that you have it more abundantly, he wants you to live and experience this life of more than abundance. An abundance of joy, an abundance of love, an abundance of peace, not full of anxiety, not full of all the issues of this life. Not just abundance in finances. That's not just what God is about. God is about so much more. And preachers who try to make God about money and only money, it drives me crazy because God is more than that. Church and God is not about getting rich quick. What I've learned about God is that God will show you what it is like to be prosperous, but prosperous in all areas. The God that I serve is concerned about more than the size of my checkbook. He's concerned about what I'm concerned about. He's concerned about what grieves me and what causes joy in my life and what causes increase in my life and all of those things. And that's what God wants for you and I. And so what God says to you and I in that text, he says, if I put new wine and old wine in an old wineskin, that an old wineskin is incapable, catch this, it's incapable of adapting to the changes that the wine is going to make in the process. That's exactly what happens with you and I. When we get into a time of our life like right now, when God, there's a lot of change happening in this world. People losing their minds. And if we're trying to put and put into our life something brand new and we're not getting our mind renewed, meaning our mind is incapable of adapting to the change. How many have a really good day and then a really bad day? Right? I mean, we're severe ups and downs, right? I know what that's like. I can be on the top of the mountain having victory, right? And then just the craziest thing, like, you know, rocks into the side of the car can happen. I'm serious. Y'all, if you anyone else is a real human being, you know what I'm talking about. It'll take something like that to forget all about what God has just done earlier. For a moment, anyway. And you will lose your mind. What God is saying is, Adam, I'm trying to release blessing and abundance and bring increase to God's people. I'm trying to bring peace and joy and celebration in their life. I'm trying to bring promotion and witty inventions and new ideas into the body of Christ. But if they do not have the mind to receive it, their mind will be incapable of enduring the change. Well, I've said things at times to our own church about things we were going to do or try to do. And it's interesting because when I throw things out there like we're buying houses or we're doing this, you can see the shift go on people's face. Because you know instantly who has the mind to receive it. And then the people who think I've lost my mind, David. Which David's probably thought I've lost my mind a time or two. Amen. Yes, amen. See, I knew he'd give me an amen. It's true. There have been times I've approached Lois about some extreme financial thing. And like, here's what I believe we need to do. And she just sort of looks at me like, in some of the most desolate times. We had a speaker come into our church several years ago. He said, so everything we have. I said, give them everything we have in the accounts. I'll never forget. The two ladies looked at me like, are you sure? They just looked, they couldn't even utter anything. I said, do what I tell you. You know, it wasn't until I looked over my, I keep all of my calendars from year to year. Now watch this. It was exactly 1 year to the day from the date that we sowed everything we had, that God blessed us with that school. Isn't that extraordinary? See, God will often test you and I. He will see if you have the mind to receive what he has. That was God demonstrating and stretching you and I. It was God stretching a people to be able to say, do you have the mind to receive it? Do you dare to believe? See, we've got to be a people that are willing to believe God above everything else, not believe what's right in front of us. If you and I watch the news any length of time, we'll believe all kind of nonsense. Right? We'll believe all kinds of things about our own community. Our own newspaper in town promotes all kinds of just junk and nonsense. Sorry for anybody who supports it, works there. I'm sorry. It's junk. It's not a reflection of our city at all. Sorry to put you all on blast, but I just believe in telling the truth. The community that I know and where we live, I just talked to Reverend Winfrey up the street who preaches at the Baptist church, and it's a different community than what they're reflecting. It's entirely different to live here and to experience here. There's nothing major happening here, but that I'm not afraid to come out of the church at night in the dark. There's nobody chasing after me. There's nobody out to get us. There's nobody that's in the community that hates our church. They've actually grown to love us very much, as crazy as I am, Geneva. But the reflection in our local paper would cause you and I to believe something entirely different. And what God is trying to say in our word is that if we look at that and we believe that and we renew our mind with that, that will be the roadblock. That will be the that will be an old wineskin that will be incapable of handling the flexibility of what we need to be able to endure what God has. And so we're constantly being inundated, whether it's social media and all those things, with all these other influences. And it is about what does the Word of God say about you and I. It had taken years of me decreeing and declaring the Word of God over my children to begin to see it manifest in my own life this week. Years. But it had to come down to a time where God had to say, you know what, now you have the mind to receive. I was able to bring restoration in everybody else's family. I mean, truly. People in our own church and bring restoration in the midst of their families, and people who have moved on and worship somewhere else, and yet I'm still bringing restoration in their families. And I'm like, God, how can you use me to bring restoration to them and their families? They're all sitting down having a family dinner, and I can't in mine. God, how come when I lay my hand on them, they're healed, but I'm sitting here still not? It'll make you wonder. But do you have the mind to be blessed? Do you have the mind to be blessed? See, oftentimes I can believe for you, but I struggle to believe for me for a lot of reasons. And it's not until God gets you to the point where you and I have the mind to receive it, where you finally get to the point where you can absolutely believe that that's what God wants for you, that when God says he wants his best for you, you can believe that for yourself. Just think right now, what is your greatest struggle, your greatest affliction, whether it's pain or something financial, or maybe it is your mind, maybe it is your relationship, hallelujah, maybe it, whatever it may be. One of your children, right? And understand that your Father in heaven wants that to be whole right now. He's not asking for anything else in return. Just get that. A lot of preachers will preach to you that God will give it to you, but he wants something in return. Just stop. And what a good, good Father is. We preached it for weeks about the goodness of God. And what a good, good father is I will love my daughters and my son whether they give anything in return or not. That's what a parent does. So then why do you think that God is any different? Why do you think that you've got to somehow sow an offering to get what you need? No. There is truth to that. Give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But God being a father says, what do you have need of? Tell me, if your child is in need, would you not move heaven and earth to give them what they need? Yes, you will. When I know that one of my kids is in need, when I've known, even when my daughter and I was not speaking and that she needed food, I made it happen. She didn't want to see me. She didn't want, maybe didn't want to talk to me, but I sent it. Right? Because you will do that. That's what a father will. That is what your Father in heaven wants for you right now. You might not even be talking much. I don't know about you, but there are sometimes it's difficult to be on speaking terms with God. We don't want to acknowledge that. Some of us wouldn't even dare say that, but I know what it is like to not be on speaking terms with God, to be frustrated, to be irritated, to be angry, to be questioning him, to be like, God, I don't know, if you don't move, I'm about to. I've been like that with God. Geneva, I've had those moments where I've had more questions than I ever could find answers in the Word. And I just stopped praying, asking. I'd pray when I had to be in church, when I had to be here in front of people and be preachy. But there was absolutely nothing else there because I just was frustrated. And I got to that point until I came and understood the real vastness and marvelousness of how great God is. And that when we can understand him as a father, and we understand that he has a host of things that he wants to bless you and I with, and that what is often holding it up is our own mind. And that the enemy attacks our mind so much that, because if he can get into the mind, that's where the overflow stops. That's why the breakthrough isn't there. That's why we're not having victory in so many areas, because we begin to believe a lie in our mind, because it's easier to often believe a lie over the truth. Think about that. It is often easier to believe a lie. I could tell you something juicy about Lois, and you'd believe it. We hear something on the news salacious, and then 24, 48 hours, they'll post a retraction. Because they got caught. Because it's often easier to believe a lie over the truth. Because of the fall, man, we're not conditioned to be able to receive the kind of love that comes from heaven easily. We're not conditioned to be able to receive abundance and joy. We're not conditioned to be able to sit right here in this very moment and say and understand that your Father in heaven wants you whole. Meaning my mind, my body, my spirit, my relationships. I don't know about you, but there have been times, Michelle, where I've been blessed. And then after the blessing, I stand back and be like, wow. The love of God. God will bring someone in your life and you know they're a blessing, but you don't fully receive and understand the blessing until some time has passed. And you're like, man, I get it now. Right. And it'll overwhelm you to know that God loved you enough that he sent someone like that into your life to be a blessing, to be a help to you, to demonstrate love to you, to show what it is to be accepted. So you didn't have to jump through hoops to get them to love you. They just do. And they think you're the next best thing since squeezed butter, right? What someone else looked at and thought was flawed, they looked at and thought that was beauty. Those are the things that renew our mind, that help me to understand how amazing that God is, that he loves you and I that much, that we have our mind to receive what he has. The text is really letting you and I know that God wants to stretch you and I before we burst, before we blow up in frustration, before we become overwhelmed with extreme circumstances. He wants you and I to be restretched. I believe that's what this year is all about. While there is chaos and things going on all around us, God is trying to stretch you and I in the body of Christ. Our church has been stretched in faith this year. We've been stretched in resources this year. But the more that we've been stretched, the more that God has blessed. This is a year of stretching. 2020 has been about why? Stretching to expand. God is trying to stretch you to expand, but God does not want you trying to attach what was old to what is new. God's saying, hey, they were a part of your life, but he wants to bless you with someone new. Stop trying to reach back and bring who used to be a part of what God was doing into what God is doing right now. I'm grateful and thankful that God is always constantly sending someone new into my life. Always, whether it's someone to church or in my personal life or some business transaction or whatever it may be, always someone, and they always have something to add. If you and I would get able to receive the mind that God has for you and I today, you would begin to see every time you interact with someone that the blessings of God all around you, that he is trying to stretch you to receive it, that understand that all the promises of God that the Bible says are yes and amen, you and I, in our own small-mindedness, don't have the ability to receive them on our own. So God is stretching you and I so that we have the ability to believe for them, so that we can have the faith to believe for them. Hallelujah. That every day God wants you and I to understand is an opportunity for you and I to experience the blessings of God. Yes, there will be trouble. Yes, there will be frustrations. But every day is an opportunity for you and I to experience the blessings of God. And if you and I aren't careful, we'll waste the opportunities that are given to us, because we don't have the right mind to receive it, because we don't know how to seize the opportunity, because our mind hasn't been renewed enough on the Word of God. Because I forget that it is with the very mind that I have that's what I serve the Lord with. I've learned, in order to keep my mind renewed, there are times where I have to renew it when it comes to the problems around me. There will always be someone in your life that has a problem with you. At work, in family, your spouse, someone you worship with, hallelujah. Lois can always have a problem with me. That doesn't mean I have to have a problem with her. Hallelujah. Listen to what I just said. That is part of you and I renewing our mind. So many times, because of who we are and how we're built and our own insecurities and things, the moment you have a problem with me, my instinct is that I'm going to have a problem with you. But the truth of the word is, when I understand about what it is to have a renewed mind, is just because you have a problem with me doesn't mean I need to in turn have a problem with you. Because the truth is, as I understand the word and what God has for me, I don't have time to have a problem with you. Because if I give a problem that I have with you time, I'm going to miss an opportunity that I have to receive from my Heavenly Father, something that he's meant for me. And see, there will always be those tests and those moments where I have a choice to make, that just because someone has a problem with me, that I don't need to have a problem with them. Those opportunities will be presented to you and I. It's what we do with them that will determine what it is that we're able to possess into our life. Because I need to recognize that every day is a gift from God. And it is what I do with that gift, it is what I do with that day, that is going to determine what it is that I'm going to receive in my life. It is not easy to overcome negativity in our minds. It is not easy to overcome and transform our mind like that overnight. It isn't. It's something that we work at and we become disciplined at, and that we literally have to be diligent at and with each and every day. But it's me realizing that every time I'm presented with something, there's a choice. I can either give it energy and give it focus, or I'm going to allow my mind to stay renewed upon the things of God and keep looking for an opportunity. Haven't you ever noticed that when a problem is presented with you and I, that it takes our focus? Right? Would you go out to dinner? I was out to dinner this week, and everybody at that table was like this on their phone. And I suddenly thought to myself, why am I here? Really? Why am I here? And I realized in that moment, I'm here because if I wouldn't be, they'd have a problem with me. I realized it sitting there. I thought, well, do I get up? You know, Keisha, I was thinking, you know. Every day we're presented with an opportunity. There are things that take our focus. A problem takes our focus. Our phones take our focus. Different circumstances throughout the day take our focus. And what those problems are meant to do is to get you to look at them instead of looking up. They are. The enemy will stir up things that will cause you and I to get our focus taking off of where we're going and where we're headed. I've seen it happen with our ministry, our church, where what God's doing with us, and even the school. There have been times problems have come up that we focused here instead of looking up. Keep looking on. Keep looking at what God promised. Keep looking at the opportunities that are coming our way. You and I have to have a mind and the ability to be able to discern the difference between what needs your focus and what does not. What needs our energy? Don't spend your energy recycling and rehearsing old mentalities. The enemy will wear you and I out doing that. I've been wore out trying to recycle and run things that are old cycles over into my own life, old ways of thinking. And the enemy wants to wear you and I out. Then you don't have the ability, the energy to have the vision for anything more. You don't have the strength to believe God for anything more. And so the enemy's working on our minds to get you to look at the problem instead of looking up and seeing where God wants to take you. There are higher places, deeper things that God wants to get you and I into as a church and individually in your families. There is wholeness that God wants you and I to step into. There's healing that God wants you and I to step into. But do you have the mind to receive it? Don't believe that as far as you've come is as far as there is to go. That's not true. There's deeper and further things that God has for you and I. So much more. So much deeper. Last week we were talking about the children of Israel crossing over, right? And they got to the water and there was nowhere to go, and yet Pharaoh's army is closing in around them. They could have in that moment literally frozen stiff and done nothing and died right there. But their good father saw it fit to allow them to not just cross over where there once was water, but push it back enough and allow them to cross over on dry ground. That God loved them enough to create a way out. You and I've got to know today that God didn't just love them that much, that God loves you and I that much, that he wants our mind to be renewed, that he's got huge and great things for you and I. He wants you to be blessed and blessed abundantly. He wants you to be loved and really loved. He, whatever it is that you've been through, God wants to take that and toss it to the side and let you experience something completely different, something brand new. But he doesn't want you and I to do that and try to put the new blessings of God into the old ways of our life. He wants our mind to be completely transformed. That's why it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. I can't even believe that we're out of time. Where did the morning go? I want to read a scripture to you out of a different translation, though. It blessed me. It ministered to me. We often read Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. You know it well. I want to read it, though, just real quickly to you as we close out of the Message version. It's the scripture I've quoted all morning, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But look how the Message version puts it. I love it. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God's helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. Take your sleeping, your eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Here's what I want you to do. God is trying to bring the best out of you. When we are needing transforming in our mind, you know what ends up usually happening is the only thing we focus on is how messed up our thinking is. Don't do that. I'm one of those that my thinking can shift like that. It can take an event. It can take something that someone says. And what God is saying in his word is don't get even focused upon the area of your life that is messed up. In this case, our mind. Focus on what God is trying to bring out of you that is the best. The very fact that you and I are, God is bringing this to our attention today, he's saying there's something more inside of you that I need to bring out. There's some greatness inside of us. There's some grand thing. There's a new invention or a new idea or a new ministry in us. I'm telling you that this is the year God's stretching people Some of you are having thoughts and things that you've never thought of before. Good. Maybe someone said to me the other week they're writing. Someone else said they're starting to do artsy things and painting, and they've never painted in their life. Good. You know, whatever it may be. Some of you, God's approaching, and he's stirred up an interest or a desire in you you've never had in your life. Good. That is God stretching you and trying to bring out of you. Maybe it's a ministry of some kind. Maybe it's something that'll fit into even the vision here that you didn't even realize yet. But those are things that God is doing, and he's trying to bring out of you things that are bigger than the very problem that you're facing. Our minds can be a struggle, but we are being transformed by the renewing of it right now. You need to allow those thoughts just to overwhelm you. The thoughts of how big he is, how great he is. Allow your mind to dream. Just allow it to just dream and dream big. Some people can't go to sleep. Someone told me the other week, pray for me. Every time I lay down, my mind starts racing. I said, that's because you're allowing your mind to focus on everything you need to do that you don't have the strength to do. You need to lay down and you need to begin to think about the things that you want to think about. You need to lay down and begin to dream and dream big. Start dreaming and allow your mind to go places that you never even believed God could take you. He said, if I do that, I won't be able to sleep. And I said, yes, you will. I said, you will drift off into a sleep, and God will begin to speak to you through that dream. God will begin to expand your vision. And while you're dreaming, God is renewing your mind. Because you're going to understand that all things are possible with Christ. All things. All things. This church has existed, and I love the fact that we're able to exist and be an example to other people and other ministries and friends and family existed out of just that very thing, dreaming, vision, all of it, believing God for more. Every time God has blessed us, we believe God for more. We traded in a copy machine that when we got that copy machine we just got rid of, it was, what, a $25,000 machine. Our church couldn't afford a $25,000 machine. Are you crazy? But God did it. Now we not only got rid of that thing, we got something bigger, better, and badder. This the other week. How? God. Believing, sowing, reaping, knowing that all things are possible with Christ. This building, given everything we've ever had. We've had vehicles given to our church that we in turn gave away. Pastor Donnie's riding around in one. Why? Because we didn't need it. Thanks. They got the tax credit. We gave it away anyway. Right. That's what it is that we're able to receive those things. I had a pastor just ask me the other week, because they didn't even know we moved until they saw something on social media or on the news. They said, how come you moved or whatever? I said, well, we moved because it was given to us. He said, huh? He said, you mean you got a third? I said, yeah. I said, it's actually more than three, but I said, yeah, that's like our third church anyway. He said, how does that happen? I said, do you have the mind to receive? You've got to believe bigger. Know that God has bigger for you. You got to believe bigger for our nation. I'm telling you. Believe bigger for our nation. If we allow ourselves, we will be placed into a deep, steeping depression over what we think we see. But there's something boiling under the surface in the body of Christ that God is trying to use to meet the needs. And he that hath an ear will hear. That's what we're trying to be and do as this church right now. Hallelujah. Do you have the mind to receive? Because your old mind cannot receive the great things God's trying to release to you. It cannot be transformed by it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're about to get some new minds. I believe we're entering a time, this second half of the year, I'm just going to be bold enough to say it. Some of you are going to step into blessing that you have never seen before. I'll just decree it and declare it. I'm strong enough to be wrong because I know God isn't. The remainder of 2020, you are going to see an increase of blessing. You are going to see God do things that you have asked for years. You're going to see restoration in your family. A child's coming home. I know it because it happened to me already. Hallelujah. Financial abundance. A job that you are underqualified for, but God is just going to drop it in your lap. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And you're going to get paid for that one. Hallelujah. I'm serious. Hear what I'm telling you. Some of you are rebuilding. You know, there are people online right now that are local, and they've been watching. I know they're watching, and they want to be a part of something bigger, but they've been gripped with fear. This is their word to let them know now is the time. God is about to blow some minds, I'm telling you. If you've been stressing out financially, you better just hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Stop. Trust your Father. He's about to do it. Let everything that God has done for this church be an example and a testimony to increase your faith. He didn't do it because I'm special. He didn't even do it because of me. He did it because we believed. And if you will believe, I'm telling you, you need a vehicle, believe God. I believe God. God's not just given vehicles. God's paid them off a few times. And it's not because of who I am or what I do. It has nothing to do with it. Do you have? Can you dare to believe? Can you? My. I'm excited to begin to see what God's going to do in some of y'all's life. I really am. You're going to see divine reversals, divine turnarounds.